స్వర్గనందినీ స్వప్న విహారిణీ స్వర్గనందినీ స్వప్న విహారిణీ ఇష్టదేవతే సరస్వతీ ఇష్టదేవతే సరస్వతీ స్వర్గనందినీ స్వరమైనావిల్ నాదమై తల్తియిల్ స్వరమైనావిల్ నాదమై తల్తియిల్ పదమై తూవలిల్ పానిల్ వరగని వాణిమణి వరదాయిని అంబవాణిమణి వరదాయిని అంబవాణిమణి వరదాయిని వాణిమణి వరదాయిని స్వర్గనందిని స్వప్న విహారిణి ఇష్టదేవతే సరస్వతీ ఇష్టదేవతే సరస్వతీ స్వర్గనందినీ
ఐ ఆఫర్ మై హంబుల్ ప్రణామ్స్ అట్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్ సాయిరామ్ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. Today I take it as a proud privilege to introduce my colleague Mr. Venkateswarlu, who is going to be the speaker. I am reminded of one episode some years back when Super Speciality Hospital was inaugurated. One of the old students of Bhagwan by name Ravi Mariwala, he just then passed MBA. Along with some other students, he wanted to get some seva. They were all praying together. His prayers were answered. Swami posted him in cardiac surgery theater. He had to operate the heart-lung machine. Once it so happened, when the surgery was over, it was successfully completed by the surgeons. After that, somehow, for unknown cause, they could not operate this heart-lung machine. They tried their level best. Even when they were able to operate it, the patient did not revive. Doctors were in panicky situation. Nobody knew what to do. At that time, this student, he went out to the corridor. As we have already tried all different types in order to succeed, they could not succeed. So he thought, one method we have forgotten, that is praying to Bhagwan. He came out, silently he prayed to Bhagwan. By thinking of his face, and he started praying for the sake of that unknown patient. Within few seconds, everything became all right, and then he got revived, and then his heart started functioning. He did not reveal the fact to anyone. It is only because of his prayers he became normal. He did not say. That Sunday, when he came to Prashanthi Nilayam, Swami directly came towards him, and then he wanted to bless him with by creating vibhuti and gave him, and he told him, this is for the prayer that you did for an unknown patient. Swami loves the pure-hearted souls and blesses them. Similarly, in the case of our speaker, 5 years back, it was in 2010, one of his colleagues was extremely sick with some ailment in the spine, suffering from excruciating pain. The doctors could not give any relief. The compassionate soul, our speaker, he started praying to Bhagwan. Though all the students of the school, they were praying to Bhagwan, Bhagwan blessed only our speaker. Bhagwan called him and gave him 6 packets of vibhuti in order to reach it to that patient who was his colleague. After that, till then, for several months, that patient was totally bedridden, not being able to turn this side or that side, looking at the ceiling alone. After receiving the blessing through this great soul, that patient got up and could walk also, could give speeches, could take classes, go to classes, and then could sing even. And the patient who could do everything was standing in front of you now and speaking to you. He was fortunate enough to be initiated by Bhagwan, the Gayatri Mantra. Bhagwan performed his Yajnobhavita, that is sacred thread ceremony. For that, the determination with which he was waiting, it was more than 7 years, I think. The willpower, the patience, always he will be cheerful. For the past 3 decades, he was working in the school. Throughout the year, he has never thought of his family, and he has dedicated himself totally for the sake of the welfare of the students. Even when the students go for holidays, I have never seen him go home and then spending time with other members in the family. If at all he goes during summer vacation for his native place, just for a few days he would go, and throughout he would be spending time in giving satsang to different people by sharing the message of Bhagwan. Such a great soul, noble soul, has come today to talk to you, and he has got rich experience. He has had several interviews with Bhagwan. As I don't want to take much of his time, let us all listen to what he is going to present to us. I am damn sure it will leave an indelible mark in our mind, because what he has perceived, what he has enjoyed, the proximity for 30 years with Swami, and what he has learned from Swami, now he is going to share. And I take this opportunity, as I want to thank Bhagwan and I want to thank Mr. Murali for having given me this opportunity to pay my gratitude to my colleague. Sai Ram to all of you.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Offering my most humble and reverential pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Thank you very much for kind words spoken by you, madam. You are being an inspiration for all of us. In spite of severe health issues, the way she does things, the way she dedicated her life in spreading Bhagwan's message, sharing Swami's love with hundreds and thousands of people, is a great inspiration for all of us. Whenever we sit back and think about the madam, we bow down to Bhagwan for giving us such great inspiration as our colleague. Thank you very much. Whatever each one of us here, it is only due to Bhagwan. Whatever changes we find in ourselves, it is only because of him, none else. It is his love which has brought transformation in each one of us. The topic given to me is Sai, the Vidya Dayini, Vidya Vahini. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Among all types of knowledge, I am the spiritual knowledge. We are all aware that Swami has established hundreds of schools, colleges, university, providing them free education. When we talk about it, people say that even government provides free education. What is so great about it? But it is so different. In fact, Swami has brought all the students, teachers, and even all the devotees by performing various miracles, solving them their personal problems with sole objective of giving us this spiritual knowledge. In fact, Swami says he plays the role of Yashoda, who holds butter in one hand, shows to Krishna whom she wants to catch, and attracts people so that he can confer upon us this spiritual knowledge. Now, the question comes, what is this spiritual knowledge is all about? Why we should acquire spiritual knowledge in first place? Swami beautifully answers this query in Bhagavad Gita once again. He says, this spiritual knowledge will liberate us. It will help us to end this cycle of birth and death. It is for this particular purpose that we need to acquire the spiritual knowledge. How do we acquire this spiritual knowledge? As we come in contact of Bhagwan, as we earn the proximity of Bhagwan, or as we get into Satya Sai Seva organization, or start living in Prashanti Nilayam for that matter, we get into various activities. We have several service activities. We have got several devotional activities, and we also have satsangs of this kind. Each of them, whatever we like, leads us in our spiritual journey. In the process, we become a good devotee. Who is a devotee? This is the question which Lord Narayana happened to ask Narada. And when Narada was wondering, because he was thinking that he is the greatest devotee, Lord Narayana beautifully explained who is a great devotee with the help of another anecdote which Swami narrated. He said, Lord Narayana asked him, what is the greatest thing in God's creation? Even before Narada could answer, Lord Narayana himself says, the greatest thing in God's creation is this earth, which inhabits all the living and non-living beings. It's so big, so the earth is the greatest. And Narada nods his head and agrees to what Lord Narayana has said. But immediately Lord Vishnu corrects him, saying that, no. This earth which is so vast is being surrounded by water. There is 2/3 of water and only 1/3 of earth. So certainly water is greater. Narada agrees. And further Lord Narayana says, but the great sage Agastya, by his yogic powers, he could consume all the waters of all the seas. So don't you think sage Agastya is greater? Narada says, certainly Lord, Agastya is greater. And then further Lord Narayana says, but that sage Agastya is just a one star in the sky where there are millions of stars. So don't you think the sky is the greater? Narada says, yes Lord, the sky is greater. And then further Lord Narayana says, but when I came as Vamana, I measured this entire earth and water with one foot. With another foot, I measured the entire sky. So, Vamana is greater than even the sky. Narada says, yes, of course, Lord, you are greater than all this. Further, Lord Narayana says, but when I came as a Krishna, when I took incarnation as Krishna, I moved among Gopas and Gopikas. And people started calling me that I am the resident of their heart. I am the Hriday Nivasi of Gopas and Gopikas. So, these devotees are greater than the Lord. And he ends his conversation with that, saying that it is the devotee who is greatest in God's creation. But the question is, who is the devotee? Can we claim ourselves to be devotee? Swami beautifully explains. A student got admitted in a school in 8th standard. He was in hurry to get promoted to the next class. So what he did, he fixed his own syllabus. He set his question paper. He answered that question paper and declared that he is passed. And he said, I should be promoted to the next class. Swami said, will the school authorities accept? No. In the same manner, if we claim ourselves to be great devotee, that is not right. It is the Lord who has to say that you are my devotee. Then the question comes, who is a devotee? Is politician a devotee? Is an intellectual a devotee? Is a scientist a devotee? Or is a speaker like me is a great devotee? Politicians are selfish. Intellectuals are egoistic. Scientists are logical. They will never accept anything all the time. Today they will give some logic and say something. Tomorrow they will change the logic and say something else is true. And it never be under the impression that speakers are devotees. I had this wrong notion for a long time. Whenever I used to listen to a great speaker, I used to think he is a great devotee. Please remove this wrong notion. Why? The reason is, you don't find all these so-called great speakers putting into practice what they talk. In fact, many times they don't even verify what is truth. Why? They don't have that faith. They have got fear. They have fear that they may lose their popularity. They have fear that society may reject them. As a result, they are not able to find out what is truth. They don't put into practice what they speak. Then question comes, who is a devotee? Or how can we become a good devotee? What is that we need to do? Or how we should proceed? How we should grow spiritually that one day the Lord very lovingly accepts us as a good devotee? Swami himself answers this, saying that there are two things which are very much required to grow into a good devotee. The first, he says, you should have Viveka and Vairagya. Viveka, the discriminating power. Vairagya, dispassion. As long as we don't develop these two things, he says, you cannot be called a good devotee. Viveka is discrimination, but it is not normal discrimination or selfish discrimination, but fundamental discrimination. You should be able to discriminate what is right and what is wrong. I find many people who had the good fortune of very close to Swami, being very, very close to Swami, or the great devotees in our scriptures, also lacked in this particular aspect. They were not great devotees. They were great scholars, men of achievement, but they lacked in this particular aspect. And the second aspect is that of Vairagya. Vairagya, detachment. We need to be detached with name, fame, position, and all that which we have acquired by our hard work. Then only we can be called ourselves a great devotee. Swami gives two beautiful examples from two great epics. First, that of great Bhishma, the Bhishmacharya, whom all the people respected for his greatness, for his valor, for his knowledge, and for everything. But Swami says he had no Viveka. Why? He was very well aware that Lord Krishna is the incarnation of God. He was very much aware that Pandavas are in the right path. But in spite of that, he bound himself to the throne of Hastinapura and took the side of Kauravas. So, even though he was very intelligent, even though he was a great scholar, but he did not use right discrimination. What happened? He was killed. Swami gives another example of another great character, that of Vibhishana from Ramayana. Swami says Vibhishana was also more or less in same predicament. He tried his best to advise his elder brother, but when he found that the brother is not ready to listen to his advice, and he was very much aware of the Lord taking the incarnation of Rama, he decided to quit his brother, go and surrender to the Lord. Result, that he won the grace of the Lord. He won the appreciation of Lord as a good devotee. So as a result, he also became the king. So, it is not enough if we have knowledge. It is necessary that we discriminate. Let us not listen to people and make opinion. Let us not listen to XYZ and say that is true. No. With our own discrimination, we need to decide what is right. What our heart says, let us follow that. That alone is true. So, these two characters from great epics teach us that it is not enough if we have knowledge. It is necessary that we develop Viveka and Vairagya. Second requirement, Swami says that in order to acquire the spiritual knowledge, you need to have Shraddha. Shirdi Baba time and again used to tell people about two important components to progress spiritually: Shraddha and Saburi. What is this Shraddha? The simple translation of Shraddha in English, we call it faith. But it is much more than that. It is faith with sincerity of the purpose. One-pointed focus on what we want to achieve. Swami beautifully elaborates this with the help of a small chinna katha. He says, in a village, there was a boy living with his mother as he lost his father. He was brilliant in studies. He was studying in the village primary school and he's completed his studies. Since he lost his father, somehow mother was taking care of him with daily labor with which she was earning some money. The boy was very interested in his studies, so he happened to request his mother, saying that, "Mother, I want to study further and there is no school in the village where I can continue my studies. So I will seek admission in a nearby town where I can continue my studies." The town was situated around 40 kilometers from the village. So as a result, he cannot go to the town and come back every day. He has to live in the town. So mother says, "I don't have money to give you so that you can live in the town and continue your studies. In fact, I advise you that you give up this desire to study and start doing some manual work so that you will also earn some money." The boy refused, saying that, "No, I want to continue my studies. Somehow you have to make arrangement so that I can go and stay in the town and continue my studies." This discussion continued for a few days. One fine day, boy came with a beautiful logic to his mother. He said, "Mother, you used to say that anatho daiva rakshaka, the one who has none to depend upon, there is God. Does God really exist?" Mother immediately said, "Yes, God exists." Then immediately he asked, "What is his name?" He said, "He is Mahavishnu." "Where does he live?" "He lives in Vaikuntha." So the boy thought that he has learnt enough to write a letter. So he wrote a letter to Mahavishnu, stating that, "Lord, my mother says, you are the refuge of the forlorn. We have none but you. Please help me so that I can continue my studies." He wrote the letter, put it in an envelope and wrote the address to Lord Mahavishnu, care of Vaikuntha. Showed it to his mother. Mother doesn't know how to react. She was not wanting to discourage him. So she just kept quiet and said, "Okay, since you wrote the letter, go and post it." She went to the village post office to post the letter, and outside the post office there was a post box. He was very small, hardly 10 or 11 years old. So somehow he was not able to reach to the opening of the post box. So he tried 3-4 times, jumped around to drop the letter. In the process, he fell down. When he fell down, he called out, "Oh Mahavishnu." When he called out Mahavishnu, from the post office comes out the postmaster. Comes to that boy and inquires, "What happened?" Then he explains his predicament. He says, "Don't worry, give me the letter. I will post it for you." So he took the letter from the child and he was surprised to read the address. The letter was addressed to Mahavishnu, care of Vaikuntha. Seeing the faith of this child, he did not say anything. He said, "Don't worry, I will post the letter. You can go home." So the boy came back home running and came and told his mother that, "I have posted the letter." 3 days passed. The boy went to the post office, met the postmaster. He said, "Sir, did I get any money order?" He said, "For what?" He said, "3 days back I posted a letter requesting Lord Mahavishnu to help me so that I can continue my studies. Did any money order come in my name? Seeing the faith of this child, the postman did not say anything. He said, "My dear boy, the money order has not come today. Just check up tomorrow." So very sincerely, the boy appears in the post office on the next day again. The moment the postmaster saw the boy, he took out 100 rupee note and gave it to the boy, saying that, "See, this is the money order which has come." At that particular point of time, some 40 years back, 100 rupees had a lot of value. So he took that money from the postmaster, came and told his mother that Lord Vishnu has sent the money order, and he went to that town and continued his studies. After narrating this small story, Swami says, you need to have that kind of faith which the child had. So innocent that boy was, that whatever his mother told, he 100% believed it. And when you have that kind of faith, God immediately responds in his own way, in various situations. Apart from that, the second aspect which has been emphasized here is one-pointed focus on what we want to achieve. In order to explain this, Swami narrates one more beautiful story, again from a small village. There was a small family of a child and his parents. They were living together. There was only one school in that particular village, which happened to be a Sanskrit school. Unfortunately, this particular boy happened to be a terrible dunce. So, as a result, he could not get admitted in the school. And the boy was growing. He came to the age of 10 years. And father was worried, what will happen to his future? So one day he went and met the teacher and he said, "I do understand that my son cannot get admitted in your school as a student. But I have a request. I find that the boy is very much interested to study. Every now and then he makes requests saying that he should be admitted in a school. So we will do one thing. Tomorrow onwards, I will start sending him to school. Since he cannot learn anything, don't allow him to sit in the class. What he will do is, he will come to the school half an hour before the students and the teachers arrive. He will clean up all the classrooms. He will make things ready so that you can conduct the class." The teacher said, "I have no objection for that. When somebody is ready to serve in that way." Then he made another request. He said, "After 6 months, if you find that boy can learn something, so give him some simple teaching which will be helpful to you, helpful to my son." The teacher agreed. Boy regularly came to school, performed his duties what were assigned to him, and he used to sit outside the classroom whole day waiting for further orders from teachers so that he can help them out in any work. And he was listening to whatever teachers were saying. 6 months passed. The boy's father asked, "Did you learn anything?" He said, "No." Then father said, "Did I not tell you that after 6 months, you approach the teacher and make a request that he should teach something to you?" Son said, "Yes, I remember." So next day, after the school, he stayed back. When all the students left, when the teacher was alone, he approached the teacher, fell at his feet and begged him, saying that, "Sir, please teach me something. Did my father not request you this way? please teach me something. Seeing the sincerity, seeing the one-pointed attention of the boy to acquire knowledge, the teacher gave him the first teaching. The teacher said, repeat with me what I say. The teacher said, repeat with me that Aham Brahmasmi. Repeat. Since it was a Sanskrit school, in last 6 months he heard enough of Sanskrit, he was at least able to repeat what the teacher was saying. So the teacher said, repeat with me, Aham Brahmasmi. So he made him repeat 2-3 times, and he was happy that the boy was able to pronounce those words properly. Then he said, this is my first teaching. As per the request of your father, I have given you my teaching. You can go home. So the boy came running, told his father that I have learnt. So father called him, made him sit next to him and made inquiry. What is that you learnt? So the boy told, I have learnt that Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi was very excited about what he learnt. Father heard very patiently, he was happy that some teaching is given to him. Then he said, do you know the meaning of this? The boy said, does the sentence has got a meaning? Father said, yes, of course. Anyway, don't worry, I will explain you the meaning. Aham Brahmasmi means, I am God. I am God. So he repeated 2-3 times and it went deep into the child. It's mine. After a few days, the boy happened to go to his uncle's home, which was in a village in the neighborhood. So he was there with his uncle, and now the uncle came to know that this boy started going to school. So he called him very lovingly and he said, I'm so happy that you started going to school now. And I heard that for last 6 months you have been attending school. What is that you have learnt? He said, I learnt Aham Brahmasmi. Oh, great. You have learnt Aham Brahmasmi? That's very nice. Do you know the meaning? He said, yes. Aham Brahmasmi means, my father is God. Uncle told, no, my dear. Aham Brahmasmi means, I am God. He repeated 2-3 times. The boy was a bit confused. But he kept quiet and he took the teaching of his uncle in his heart. After 2-3 days stay at his uncle's home, he was returning to his home. When he was about to reach his village, he met the village headman. The village headman was also happy that now this boy started going to school. So he made inquiry. Now he started going to school. Are you just cleaning things and helping teachers, or you are also learning something? He said, no, I started learning. What did you learn? And the boy immediately said, I learned Aham Brahmasmi. Oh, do you know its meaning? He said, no. No, of course, I know the meaning. What is it? Aham Brahmasmi means, my uncle is God. So the village had heard it very patiently and started telling, no. Aham Brahmasmi means, I am God. Now boy was really confused. My father says he is God. My uncle says he is God. Now the village headman says he is God. Who is God? But his one-pointed attention to acquire knowledge was such that he did not return to the village. He stayed back there, sat off there, started crying and started praying to the Lord. Lord, please reveal the meaning of this teaching, Aham Brahmasmi. Kept pleading. 2-3 days passed. He was just sitting there and kept praying to God without food, without water, without sleep. His prayer was so intense that Lord took pity on him and revealed in his heart the truth of this great Vedic dictum, Aham Brahmasmi. He got the knowledge. And he realized that he is God. His father is God. His uncle is God. The village headman is God. In fact, all are God, living and non-living things. So Swami says, that kind of single-pointed attention one should have in order to become a good devotee. What you want to acquire, what you want to get, must first be clear about it and make every possible effort to achieve that in your life. One day you will be able to acquire that with the blessings of the Lord. Swami repeatedly reminded us that this country is Tyaga Bhumi, Yoga Bhumi, great country it is. The number of ways Swami appreciates this particular country, I have not heard that kind of appreciation even from great patriots. In fact, in one occasion, Swami was explaining to us the greatness of this country and he narrated one beautiful incident from our history. He said, this country was so prosperous, so great, the people in this country were spiritually evolved. Even in material way, we were quite well off. He said, in fact, that is the reason why so many people invaded this country. But apart from the prosperity, people were very rich spiritually. And Swami narrated a small incident from our history. He said, when the Alexander the Great invaded this country, he went around the towns, cities and villages. One day he was in a village and at some distance he saw that there was some commotion. So he sent his people to find out what was happening. Immediately was reported that there are two people from two different families, they are fighting with each other. So he summoned them to come and asked them for what reason they were fighting. So the one person from one family was telling to the other person and to the people around, saying that I have sold my land to this person and he has paid money. To that the second person says, yes, of course I have paid money for the land which he has purchased, but I have found a treasure in the land which does not belong to me. So I am asking him to take back the treasure. And the first person says, when I sold the land, I was not aware that there is a treasure. Since I sold the land, please keep the treasure with you. And both of them were fighting on these lines. When they could not resolve, some village elders happened to come there. They discussed the issue for some time and finally they gave their verdict. The verdict was, the person who purchased the land, his daughter should be given in marriage to the person who sold the land to his son. And this treasure should be given as a gift in the marriage. When Alexander heard all that which was happening, he was stunned. He was ashamed. He said, I was so greedy that I was not satisfied with what my country gave. I invaded so many countries. I killed so many people. And I am not satisfied. And here are the people who are so selfless that they want to give what they have. Swami was almost in tears when he was narrating. Swami said, that was our country. And Swami wanted that we all should lead our lives in such a way that we are able to get back those ancient India back. Swami said, this was the reason why God time and again took incarnations in this land. Because this land is a fertile land. A farmer sows his seeds where the land is fertile, where water is available, and everything which is conducive for the growth, he chooses that kind of land and invests there. Swami said, our country is one such place where people are noble, people are spiritual, people are selfless. That's why time and again God has come in human form. Even if you see the last one century, God has incarnated as Shirdi Baba. Again he incarnated as Satya Sai Baba. And once again he is going to take incarnation as Prem Sai Baba. Shirdi Baba confined himself to the state of Maharashtra. Satya Sai spread his message to all through the country and to some extent abroad. Prem Sai is going to spread the message of this country, the spiritual message of this country, to the entire world, and with love he is going to unite the entire human race. Why we are not able to live up to the expectations of our ancient people? What is it which is coming the way? Many of us have come and settled in Puttaparthi. Many of us, even if you are not here, staying somewhere else, are part of organization. Even if you are not part of organization, we are leading good lives. But with all this, why we are not able to see that ancient India these days? Why we are not able to find that kind of selfless people now? Swami beautifully answers. He says, very simple reason: ahankara and mamakara. This is the main obstacle in the life of a devotee. He is very devoted. He performs all acts. He attends satsang. He does many, many good things. But somehow he is not able to work upon this ego and attachment. And what is the way out? Swami gives a solution. He says, only through love and seva one can overcome this ego and attachment. Swami gives a beautiful story to explain this point. He says, there was a rich man. He wanted to go for a pilgrimage. So he kept his valuables in a trunk. During those years there were no VIP suitcases, so people were using the trunks. So he put all his valuables in a trunk and put a big lock and kept the key with him and took his servant to carry that particular trunk wherever he was going. During those years most of the people used to travel by foot. So by the time they traveled in the evening, when it became dark, they wanted to take shelter in a dharmashala. So they went to a dharmashala, chowl tree, and this rich man was very much aware of the weakness of his servant. He knew that this fellow is a thief. So he was very careful about keeping the key. So he placed the trunk and one side slept the servant and the other side slept the rich man. And as usual, as the rich man thought, this fellow only pretended to sleep. He did not sleep. At midnight he got up and started searching for the key, where his master has kept the key. So he quietly went where the master was sleeping. He lifted the pillow this side, that side. He did not find. He searched below the bed. He searched everywhere possible, but he could not find the key. Finally, exhausted, he went and slept. When it was next day morning, the rich man asked his servant, saying that, please get my clothes, I wish to go for bath. The servant said, yes sir, I will bring the clothes, but I don't have the key. Please give the key so that I can open the lock and get you what you want. The rich man said, whole night you were searching, could you not find the key? This servant who was shameless, he said, sorry sir, I could not find the key. So the rich man said, you searched everywhere. You searched under my pillow, you searched under my bed. Did you search for the key under your pillow? He did not search for the key there. Swami said, similarly, you are searching for God everywhere. God who is resident of your heart, you are not searching for Him there. You are traveling long distances to come and have my darshan, but you are not even moving half an inch within your heart. The day you do that, Swami says, I will manifest and I will bless you in every possible way. See always inside. Swami said, this is what Sai means. Swami said, two things. One is love, another is service. He said, whatever impurities you have got within, you know, when you use soap and water, you purify that particular object. Swami said, this love and service are like soap and water. Using them, purify your inner being. Purify yourself. Then I will manifest there. Swami compared this service and love with lock and key. He said, the key is love and the lock is the seva. Perform selfless service with love, suffused with love, turn towards God, you will become purified. You will have the vision of the Lord. You will realize your own self. Turn it towards world, you will get entangled. So Swami says, what is required is to perform all your actions with love. Serve with love. As many people you are able to serve, as much service you are able to do, that much your inner being will become purified. At another occasion, when Swami was talking, he gave a profound message. It so happened that there were around some people who were giving long, long lectures on Swami. Sometimes we get misguided thinking that we are spreading Swami's message. Cautioning us, he said, be very clear that you are not here to transform others. You are not here to do some great social service. You are not here for spreading Swami's message. You are not here to give big, big talks. You are here for your own individual transformation. Let us not forget this truth that we are here. Whatever act we are taking part is for our own individual transformation. Apart from that, there is no other reason for us to be here. So apart from ahankara and mamakara which come in the way, there is another big obstacle which prevents us to move further in spiritual path. Swami says that is doership. You always want to own that you have done good, you have done this, you have helped people. Swami said, what you can do, tell me. He said, tonight sit quietly and think for a while. Three things. First he said, concentrate on your breath. You are inhaling and exhaling. Continuously you are doing it, whether you are awake, whether you are asleep, whether you are in dream state or in deep sleep state. continuously you are breathing. Tell me what effort, what conscious effort you are putting in order to breathe. And immediately we say that, Swami, it is happening automatically. Swami said, look at the second aspect. Put your hand on your chest. You can feel the heartbeat. The heart is beating continuously right from your birth. It is beating when you are eating. It is beating when you are walking, talking, drinking, everything. Whatever you do, this is continuously beating. Now sit for a while and reflect. What conscious effort you are making for this heart to beat. Third aspect, Swami said, we all had breakfast in the morning, very eagerly waiting when this satsang will be over and we can have our delicious lunch. Why? Because what we ate in the morning got digested. What conscious effort we are making to digest that food which we had in the morning? And suppose that food is not digested, will we be comfortable to have our lunch? So Swami said, please think on these three points, then you will know who is doing. Neither you are making any effort for your breathing, nor you are making any effort for your heartbeat, nor you are making any conscious effort for digesting food. All these things are happening. When these things happen only, you can sing, you can speak, you can do some work. So basically, God is working through you. He is making use of your instrument, your body as instrument, and performing various actions. Realize this truth, then you will be able to give up the doership. So, whatever action you perform, Swami says, have these two very important things in mind. One, Sarva Karma Bhagavat Prityartham. I perform all actions in order to please the Lord. Second, Sarva Karma Falatyagam. I don't wish to have the result of that particular action. When I perform action selflessly, I am not attached with the result. Since I am not attached with the results, I will not be facing the consequences of those actions. So he says, keep these two things in mind. The last thing which Swami says, whatever opportunity you are getting to serve, in whatever way, remember, God has given you that opportunity. Don't have any expectations from that. Don't have any expectations from anyone saying that you are going to get this thing back or that thing back, you will be appreciated or anything of that nature. The moment we do this, Swami says that you will be progressing spiritually. You will be experiencing the divinity in your own heart. This is spiritual education. Swami has come to give this spiritual education. In whatever way he has called us here, as a student, as a teacher, as a devotee, he has only one purpose, that we must progress spiritually. And the moment that happens, we can be very happy. Swami says, less of I, you will have more of Sai. Less of self, you will become selfless. So decrease this I, you will experience Sai more and more. Decrease your selfishness, you will become selfless. And selfless is Sai. I'll end up with one beautiful thing which Swami said at one point of time. He said, there are so many ways how people worship. Some perform various rituals, collectively, individually. We perform puja, for example, now yajna is going on. Then there are some people who do various kinds of chanting. They chant Vedas, chant Upanishads, chant Stotras. And then there are people who worship Lord mentally. But Swami says, the highest form of devotion is to have a feeling for the Lord. He says, highest is feeling. Why? Because it is concerned to heart. Below that is to have a thought of the Lord. Why? Because mind is involved there. Mentally you are one with the Lord. Mentally you are thinking of the Lord. Lower than that, Swami says, is the word which you speak or you describe or you chant. And the lowest, he says, is the ritual because you perform with your body. On this auspicious day, let us all pray to our Bhagwan that he fills us with the feeling that he is around us. Let us experience him around us wherever we are, whether we are here or at home or in Kulwant Hall, feeling thy presence, feeling thy grace, feeling thy radiance. You are my source of faith and strength. You are my path and destination. And I am always connected to you. And nothing of me, everything of you, lead me higher, lead me deeper, lead me beyond, lead me to you. I request our brother to put this song, beautiful wordings, I picked up from some book. We'll listen to this song. And then we will close this satsang.
Feeling thy presence, feeling thy grace, feeling thy radiance. You are my
I take this opportunity to thank the organizers for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share some of the thoughts which Swami has inspired. I thank Sundarvali Madam for the words of appreciation. I thank Bhagwan that he gave chance to reflect upon his teachings for last few days. Right from the time I've been asked to speak on this very auspicious day. Thank you, Murali sir. Thank you, all of you.
Om Shanti Shanti. Samastaloka kino bhavantu, samastaloka sukhino bhavantu, samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Om Jai Bolo Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai.